This lesson is entitled Embracing the Biblical Role of a Deacon with Dave McCollum. Brother McCollum is a network administrator at Edwards Air Force Base, and he and his wife have been members of Lancaster Baptist Church since 1990. He has been a deacon for 18 years and is currently the director of the preteen department. This lesson is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Pastor Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Into the ministry of your church, and so I want to welcome you on behalf of our deacons. I also want to mention a couple of resources. Our pastor, I think you've already noticed this, but he has a passion for not only encouraging the saints, but also equipping the saints. And there's a couple of resources for the deacon ministry. Our pastor wrote a book last year. I'm so glad he did this because I remember when I was first asked to be a deacon, there were very few biblical resources. I mean, there was some stuff out there, but very few biblical resources for the deacon ministry. And our pastor wrote this book, The Ministry of a Baptist Deacon. It gives a lot of insight not only to the philosophy of the deacon ministry, but also a lot of very practical things that we've learned and a lot of things we do here at this church. So if you haven't got that, I would encourage you to get that. I think it'll be a blessing, encouragement, a help to you, no matter how long you've been a deacon. It was a great encouragement to me. Another resource is the website, Ministry 127. These little brochures, you've probably seen them around throughout the area. It's a great resource regardless of what ministry you're in. Okay, it's got Sunday school resources, preaching resources, media graphics, those type of resources. Not quite as much on the deacon ministry, and I had a burden about that this past year, so I wrote a four-part series I wrote, and it's out here on Ministry 127 that deals primarily with the philosophy of the deacon ministry. The easiest way to find it is when you go to the website, there's just a little search box at the top. Just type in deacon, hit search, and it'll bring those up. And hopefully that would be a blessing to you as well. My name's Dave McCollum. I've been a member of Lancaster Baptist Church for, well, this October will be 21 years. And it's been a huge blessing to be here in this place and see what God has done here. And I've been a deacon at the church for about 18 years. And the Lord allowed me to do that after being here about 3 years or so. And what a blessing that was. Originally came here in the United States Air Force. There was a military that brought me here. And it was God that kept me here. So it's been a great blessing. We've got 33 deacons right now at Lancaster Baptist Church, and it's a blessing, and I've got to say this, it's a blessing to serve with each and every one of them, and I mean that with all of my heart. One of the blessings that I have every year is to be able to stand up in front of some folks and say this, and it's the honest truth. Out of 18 years of deacons meetings and counting the offerings and all of that thing, all of those type of things and labors with these men, I have never heard one man make one negative comment about our pastor, about our church, or about another deacon. And that's just amazing if you think about that. 33 men, 33 Baptists, you know, getting together. And it's just amazing. God has brought about a wonderful unity here, and I really thank God for each of these men. One of them's here this afternoon, Brother Ron Weaver, right back here. Brother Ron's been a great blessing and a great encouragement to me. We're going to talk about embracing the biblical role of a deacon this morning. Embracing the biblical role of a deacon. Now, everybody knows what an embrace is. Back in 1980, I had just gone into the Air Force, finished basic training, finished my advanced training, went to my first duty station, which was Grand Forks, North Dakota. Okay? And I got there in January. And it was, you know, 20 below or something like that, wind blowing. It's the third, fourth day there, blizzard came through, you know. But while I was up there as an unsaved man, a young man, 20 years old, it was an amazing thing. My first contact was my NCYC, was a master sergeant. His name was Jim Helton. Jim was a big bear of a man. And one of the very first things he asked me was, "Have you found a church yet?" I thought, what an unusual question. You know, here's this master sergeant, and, you know, and I'm all, yes, sir, and everything. And he says, "Have you found a church yet?" And I said, "No." And he invited me to his church, Calvary Baptist Church. I visited several times. And through that ministry, I got saved. But one of the main things I remember about Jim was he was a hugger. He was an embracer. I did not come from that background, okay? My family was not a very emotional family. My family was not an embracing and hugging type of family. And so when he came up to me after I got saved, and he gave me a big old bear hug, you know, I never forgot that, when he embraced me that way and when he made me feel like I was a part of something. And he was like that with everybody. People would walk into church, and you would just see him standing at the door just embracing people and hugging people. But there is a danger when you're in ministry for a while. And I don't think Jim ever lost that desire to embrace people. He ended up retiring, and I kind of lost contact with him through the years. But if we're not careful in the ministry for a while, as a deacon for a while, as a man in the church for a while, as a pastor even, we'll let our grip slip a little bit. Instead of cleaving, if we're not careful, we'll be leaving what we once loved. And so I just want to encourage you men this morning to embrace the biblical role of a deacon. We're going to take a look at that very quickly. First of all, if you've found your place in your notebooks, first of all, letter R, we're going to embrace the relationships. Embrace the relationships. I want to encourage you to embrace the relationships that God has given you. In your Bible, in Acts chapter number 6, we see a biblical pattern for the deacon ministry. It says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." And we could read on down to verse 7, and we could see a lot of information about how that first deacon ministry was established. But we see a lot of relationships just in these first 7 verses. For example, I want to encourage you to embrace your relationship with the Lord. In Acts chapter 6 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost." So we see his relationship with God there. We see he was a man that was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And men, if we're going to serve in any ministry, but specifically as we're talking this afternoon, the deacon ministry, then we have to make sure that our walk, our relationship, that we're embracing the Lord with all that we've got. That's where the bottom line is. I've seen men serve in ministry for various reasons and having various motivations. And if we serve to please a pastor, or if we serve to please men, or if we serve to please people, it's not going to last. And I've seen those men come, and I've seen those men go. That's why it's so important that each of us individually, that your walk with God, that my walk with God, is exactly what it ought to be. So we see these relationships that are established. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39. They said, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So we know that these relationships are very important to God. You think about the Ten Commandments, they dealt with what? They dealt with relationships. Heavenly relationships with God, human relationships with people. And as we deal in the deacon ministry, we're constantly involved in these relationships. It's true in the deacon ministry, it's true in every ministry. And we see in Acts chapter number 6 and verse 3, it says that these men were to be of an honest report. That's dealing with the human relationships. We're to be have an honest report. We have an honest reputation among people. And then it talks about the heavenly relationships in that in verse number 3 as well. They're to be full of the Holy Ghost. And so we see both of these relationships are very, very vital. But of course, that being with the Lord being the most important. Men are either going to be full of self or full of the Spirit. As men, we're either going to be full of faith, as it says here, or full of fear. And I want to encourage you to be men of faith, to be men of the Spirit, to be men of God, and walking with the Lord. And what made the difference? I mean, what makes the difference between a man that's walking by faith, a man that's walking in the Spirit, or a man that's walking in fear and full of self? And I'm just gonna be frank with you. I'm gonna be honest with you. The first many years after I got saved, my contacts with deacons in local Baptist churches didn't give me a good taste for it at all. I mean, unfortunately, I know there's a lot of good men out here. I'm not trying to be negative. But unfortunately, in my case, the first deacons that I came in contact with were not men of faith. They were men of fear, many of them. They were not men walking in the Spirit. They were very selfish and very against the pastor even many times in the churches that I had been in and been associated with. And that's not what God desires. And what makes the difference? Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 says this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, that's me, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I love that portion of Scripture. What made the difference in the lives of these men? Why were they different? Because they had spent time with Jesus. And the only way that we're going to have the ability to do what God wants us to do as far as ministry and the deacon ministry or any other ministry is to walk with the Lord, to be filled with the Spirit, to spend time with the Lord. And I want to challenge you, man, the older I get, the more I realize how important my quiet time alone with God is, how important it is to guard that. I get up about 3:45 every morning and have some time with the Lord before I have to go off to work. And my commute to work is about 40 minutes, and that's my prayer time. I pray while I'm driving. And just take the time, find the time somewhere in your schedule to make sure that your walk with God is what it ought to be, because that's what makes the difference. They had been with Jesus. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And then a while back, I was reading this verse, and I'd never seen this before. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, talking about the ordination of the 12 apostles. It says, and he ordained 12, listen to this next phrase, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Notice the order there. He ordained them to do what first? To be with him. I had never seen, I'd read that I don't know how many times before, but a while back I was reading that portion of Scripture and that just jumped out with me. It's important for Jesus that you be with him. It's important. So let's think about that. Let's embrace that. Let's make sure that we continue to embrace our relationship with the Lord. Number two, embrace your relationship with your pastor. Embrace your relationship with your pastor. We see this in Acts chapter 6 and verse 2, talking of the pastor. It says, and then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God. So when it's talking about the 12, it's talking about the we. It's in reference to the apostles specifically, but also representative of the pastors or the leadership of the church. And we need to make sure that we're embracing our relationship with our pastor. Embracing means excuse me, that you're going to love your pastor. And don't be afraid to let your pastor know that you love him. I know sometimes as men, like I said earlier, I didn't grow up in an emotional family. I didn't grow up in an embracing type of family. And sometimes it's even kind of awkward as men to say to another man, I love you, I'm praying for you, I'm caring about you. But you know what? Your pastor needs that. I don't care how strong he is, he's still a man. He still needs somebody to on his side. He needs to know that there's somebody there that's going to love him and care about him. I try to make it a point. Sometimes I'll text my pastor, I'll email him, and all I'll say is praying for you or love you, pastor. It doesn't have to be a big, long, 7-page letter. Just let him know. I mean, sometimes I'm at work, and for some reason, I don't know, the Holy Spirit would just lay pastor on my heart. And I'll go over and sit down at my computer and shoot off a quick email, say, pastor, thinking about you, praying for you. And we need to do that. You need to embrace your relationship with your pastor. It means loving them. It means caring for them. Early on in our church, our pastor had a very big struggle financially. He came here without any support. You've heard the story. You've seen the videos and so forth. But then as deacons started coming on, a lot of our deacons, especially in the early years, were men that were newly saved. As a matter of fact, when you look at our church, the vast majority of people in our church are first-generation Christians. There are a few like myself that were saved before I came here. And so the deacons kind of had to grow along with the ministry. They were growing spiritually. Pastor was growing as a pastor. and they were going. But one of the things that happened along the way is we didn't really know how to take care of our pastor. Fortunately, through the years, the Lord started burdening our heart much more about that. And Brother Ron knows exactly what I'm talking about. We started getting a little more serious about that and realizing that, hey, you know, for example, I'll give you an example. We were at a deacon's orientation. Every year our pastor takes us and our wives away and at a hotel, get a conference room. We have some training sessions and resources that he gives us and encouragement, and usually brings a guest pastor in to preach to us and stuff like that. And we were there, and some of us men just started kind of talking to one another, and none of us had any idea what pastor's salary was. I mean, one guy just said, hey, you know what pastor's making now? And the conversation just kind of started up like that, you know. Nobody knew. Now, I speak that to our shame, because once we checked into it, we realized that we were grossly underpaying him. And at that point, that's kind of the spark that kind of pushed us into getting a little more serious about this matter of not only loving our pastor, but caring for our pastor, caring for him financially, making sure he had health insurance, a retirement, those type of things. It's so very important. I was at work with a man the other day who grew up in Hammond, Indiana. He's the same age as I am. He's a retired Marine, and we worked together for years now, and we were talking, and I said something, I forget the quote I said. He said, that's a neat quote. Who did that? And I said, well, you know what? I'm not sure. And I said, well, he's a Google master, okay? This guy is just a computer geek big time, okay? So he gets on the computer, and he Googles the quote, and it comes up, and it was Dr. Jack Hiles that had made this quote, which was kind of ironic because this guy grew up in Hammond, Indiana, okay? And he said, Jack Hiles, he said, who's that? I said, you don't know who Jack Hiles is and you grew up in Hammond, Indiana? And he says, well, there was a church that used to run buses around and bring us to this church and stuff, but he didn't put the two together, you know? And so we were talking about that and leaning upon that. And one of the things he said, oh, that's that big church where that preacher drove that big car. He says, my mom always talked about him. His mom was Catholic. They were a Catholic family. He says, my mom always said, that's that preacher drives that big brand new car. And I looked at him and I said, well, what was he supposed to drive? A Pinto or something, you know, a Vega? Some of you guys don't even know what a Vega is, right? But what was he supposed to drive, you know? And there's this mentality, for some reason, where it came from, I have no idea, but there's this mentality that the pastor ought to drive an old car, live in an old house, have maybe one or two suits, and I just don't understand that mentality. And so we need to make sure we're taking care of the man of God. I believe it's our responsibility. I believe the church has placed us in that position by allowing us to be deacons in the church to make sure that our pastor is being taken care of. So I want to encourage you to embrace the relationship with your pastor. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, where we looked just a moment ago, it says, but we, the pastors, the preachers, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And when you get right down to where the rubber meets the road concerning the deacon ministry is basically this: taking care of anything that the pastor needs for us to take care of in order that he might spend more time in prayer and ministry of the word. You know, if the pastor's out having to mow lawns at the church, then he's not in prayer and ministry of the word. If he's having to fix a toilet in the church, then he's not in prayer and ministry of the word. So we should do everything we can to provide that for him so that he can accomplish the will of God in his life as we accomplish God's will in our lives. So embracing your relationship with the pastor. Number three, I want to encourage you to embrace your relationship with the membership or the church family. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 talks about the disciples. It talks about the Grecians. It talks about the Hebrews. It talks about the widows. That's the church membership, and it's all right here in this verse. The relationships that we have with the Lord, with our pastor, with the church family, all of these relationships are important to God. Here at Lancaster Baptist Church, excuse me, and I realize that every church does it a little differently, every pastor does it a little differently. But here we have what our pastor calls an under-shepherd list, and we also have a widow's list. Each one of us deacons are assigned a group of people within the church. That would be our under-shepherd's list. Some years we've done it alphabetically. Some years we've done it geographically. But each of us have many families that we're responsible for in the church, for their care, for watching out for them, for staying in touch with them, and informing pastor if anything comes up in their lives that he needs to be aware of. And also we have widows that are assigned to each of us. I've got two widows, did have three, and one lady went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago that we cared for many, many years. But the care of the church, the caring for the church family. And I just want to encourage you, be in touch with the church family. Walk around during before church, after church. Talk to people, listen to people. Hear about their needs. Send them cards on their birthdays, their anniversaries. Give them calls when you don't see them at church. It doesn't always have to be the pastor that calls somebody when they're not in church. And I want to encourage you to do that. Be involved in people's lives in that way. And it'll be a blessing, encouragement to the pastor, to your people, and to you. Nobody should be neglected. Nobody. And that's exactly what was happening right here, right? The Grecians, the Hebrews, the widows, they were being neglected. That's what spurned the deacon ministry. And so we want to make sure that we've got our ears open, our eyes open, just being sensitive to the needs of those around us. I pray every single morning on that drive from here to Edwards Air Force Base, I pray every single morning for our deacons, and I pray this. I pray, God, give us wisdom and skill to see and meet the needs of all those around us. And that's what I desire. I want to be sensitive to the needs of the people around us. Not just, and by the way, not just the widows that are assigned to me, okay? Not just the people that are on my under-shepherd list, but to the whole church family as I come in contact with them. So be in contact with the church family. Number four, the other relationship I see here is the relationship with your fellow deacons. Embrace relationships with fellow deacons. We see this in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men." Wasn't just one deacon. Now, I realize that some churches do just have one deacon. I've got a very faithful pastor friend that had two deacons, and one of his faithful, godly men passed away this last year, and there's just one deacon in that church now. And I realize that, and I understand that. But I want to encourage you to embrace your relationship with your fellow deacons. I said it a moment ago. I love working with these 33 men. I love being with them. I love helping them. We've got a great thing going on as far as covering one another and helping one another. I've had to ask some of the men, "Hey, I'm going to be out of town. Will you watch Mrs. So-and-so, one of my widows?" And they're glad to do that. I think about last night. I went back to count the offering, and one of the men was saying, "Hey, can somebody count for me next week? I'm going to be out of town." And somebody readily volunteered for that. I'm talking about that kind of thing. When in your relationship with your fellow deacons, getting together and praying for your pastor and talking about how you can meet the needs of your pastor and having that communication one with another. So embracing these relationships is obviously very important to God. And if you're going to embrace the biblical role of a deacon, you're going to have to embrace relationships. There's no way around it. I heard somebody say one time, ministry would be great if it wasn't for all these people. You know, and it's true. I mean, we're all people and we all have problems. And God has placed some of us in positions where we have the opportunity to minister with people with problems. So let's be a blessing in that way. Okay, embracing the relationships. Number two, let's also embrace the opportunities. Letter O, opportunities. You know, as each need arises within the church, as you become aware of a need in the church, maybe a family, maybe an individual, maybe a facilities need, something broken at the church, but whatever that need is, as those needs arise, we're either going to see them as obstacles or opportunities. And we're either going to see them as blessings or as burdens. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's times where I've gotten the phone call at home and say, "Brother McCollum, so-and-so needs this or is having this problem." And I kind of went, "Oh, brother." You know, you've been there. You're tired. You've been working all day. And let's just be honest about it. There's that part of it. I'm not trying to say it's always a blessing. Okay? I'm not trying to say you know, that it's always an opportunity, okay? But as those situations come up, let's make sure we approach them with the right heart, with the right attitude, and then God will use those opportunities to truly be an opportunity to be a blessing, not only to those that we serve, but to us as well. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, it talks about the daily ministration. And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because of their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And I want to encourage you, man, when we think about the opportunities that we have to serve, I want to encourage you to not let the routine daily opportunities that you have kind of slip through the cracks. The calling of the widows, the meeting the needs of the church family, the encouraging of the pastor, the daily routines, the counting of the offering, the taking up of the offering, whatever responsibilities your pastor has given you in the church that you do on a routine, daily, week-to-week basis, don't ever let those things slip away. I want to encourage you to embrace them. What a privilege it is to serve in a local New Testament church, no matter how big or how small it is. As a deacon, only two offices in the church, the pastor and the deacon. And what a privilege that is. So don't get caught up in the routine, if you will, opportunities, and get tired of those routine opportunities. Be faithful at them. I don't want my pastor to ever wonder. For instance, one of the things that pastor has asked me to do is I'm on the missions committee, and I'm involved in reading our missionary letters and trying to stay up with our missionaries and their needs and so forth. And I don't want my pastor to ever wonder, you know, I wonder if Brother McCollum is doing that. I wonder if he's really reading those letters. I wonder if he really knows what's going on. I don't want him to ever have to worry about that. The daily routine things should be taken care of. And then Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, it talks about the business. The business. It says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among yourselves, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business." Now, there's been some misconceptions with this word business in the deacon ministry in some years past. What I mean by that is some people take the idea that, and I've been in churches like this, where they think the deacons take care of all the business, literally, the finances, the purchasing of things, and pastors shouldn't do that. Okay, but if you look this word business up, what it literally means is needs. Needs. And the needs here happen to be the widows. And there's a lot of needs in the church, by the way. A lot of different needs in the church. And so there's sometimes where you've got the routine opportunities, and then you have what I call the responsive opportunities. Those things that you have to respond to quickly. Many, many years ago, I was working out at the base, and I got a phone call, and it was one of the secretaries here at the church, and she said, "Brother McCollum, we've got a lady whose husband that works out at the base, and he's had a heart attack. They're taking him to the base hospital. The wife is coming out to meet him there. Could you get away from work and get over there and meet them?" And I'll be honest with you. I'll just be honest with you. I didn't know how to deal with stuff like that. I'd only been a deacon like 2 or 3 years, I think, at that point, and I really didn't know how to deal with people in that type of situation. And I'll never forget that day. This lady, I knew who she was, but I didn't know her real well. And as I walked into the hospital that day, the base chaplain met me in the emergency room. And he said, "Are you from the church?" I said, "Yes, sir, I am from Lancaster Baptist Church, where this lady and her husband are a member." And then he proceeded to tell me that the man had just passed away and that she was back in this room on the side. And I thought, and I started praying, "Lord, how can I help this lady?" We don't even really know each other that well. But a funny thing happened. As he was leading me to that room, the whole time I'm praying, "Lord, give me something to say. Help me to be a blessing, an encouragement, a help, a comfort to this lady." And as he was walking me back to that room, and I stood in the doorway of that room, she was sitting directly in front of me in a chair. And her head was down, and tears were in her eyes, of course. And as she sensed somebody in the doorway, she looked up, and she saw me. And again, we didn't know each other that well. But immediately, a smile came across her face. Immediately, she felt the comfort of not me, but the comfort of the Lord, that somebody from her church was there. Didn't matter who it was, It could have been anybody. But somebody was there. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that sometimes those opportunities of emergency, so to speak, will come along, and sometimes our initial reaction will be, not me. You know, that's not for me. I don't know what to do there. I don't know how to help there. But then God always uses those that are willing to go, no matter what the situation is. And so I just want to encourage you to embrace the church family. Embrace your fellow deacons and all those things, and embrace the opportunities that you have to be a blessing to others, to meet the needs of others. So we've talked about embracing the role of the deacon. We've talked about the letter R, the relationships. We've talked about letter O, the opportunities. And thirdly, I want to encourage you to embrace the letter L, lost. To embrace the lost. To embrace the lost. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." And we all know that we're to be involved in reaching others with the gospel of Christ. And I thank God for missions programs. I thank God for the opportunity. And by the way, you should get on board with that, reaching people into the uttermost parts of the earth. But also, I want to encourage you as a deacon of the church to be involved in personal soul winning. To be involved in personal soul winning. Now, I'm going to be transparent with you here because the Lord really burdened me with this past year in a special way. I've always gone out and knocked on doors ever since I came to this church. I've always tried to be involved in soul winning and stuff. But one morning during my prayer time, as I was driving out to the base and I was praying to the Lord, I was just overcome with this thought. Do you have contempt for the lost or compassion for the lost? And I realized that I had gotten to the point in my life, gotten so fed up with this world and the wickedness of this world and the sinfulness of this world and the piercing and the tattooing and the drugs and the alcohol and just the wickedness of this world. I had let that affect me to the point where when I looked at people, instead of having compassion for them, I was many times having contempt for them. And I'll just be honest with you. The Lord just overwhelmed me with that. I mean, I would go out and knock on a door and somebody would come to the door with some guy with the earrings and tattoos or whatever. And sometimes I just had contempt for him. And I didn't have the compassion that God wanted me to have for him. So I began praying this year. I began praying, God, I don't know how I got here. You know, I don't know how I got to this point where I look at certain people and have contempt instead of compassion for them. And the Lord started working in my heart. He reminded me of Jesus and the lady at the well. The lady at the well that nobody else would have anything to do with. The lady at the well that everybody else had contempt for, Jesus had compassion for. He brought to my heart the lady that was brought to him in adultery, that everybody else had contempt for, but he had compassion for. He brought to my heart the little boy, the child that they wanted to bring to Jesus. And the apostle said, no, get out of here. Get away from him. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. When everybody else had contempt for that little kid that was running around, making noise, being a nuisance, Jesus had compassion for him. That religious man, Nicodemus, remember him? When he came to Jesus by night, a lot of the other apostles would have looked at Nicodemus and seen the hypocrisy and the fact that he was a Pharisee, and they would have had great contempt for him. But Jesus had compassion for him. And the Lord started working on my heart. And I just want to encourage you men, if you're not on board with a soul-winning program at your church, get on board. Get on board. First of all, just because it's right. It's just the right thing to do. Not as a deacon, but as a Christian. It's the right thing to do. And secondly, and we're going to look at this in just a moment, there are people watching you. Whether you like it or not, they're watching you. They notice if you don't go out soul winning. They do. They notice if you're not in church on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, or whatever. They notice that. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. So I want to encourage you to embrace the lost. Have compassion and not just contempt for the lost. And then lastly, letter E. Letter E, I want to encourage you to embrace the example. Embrace the example that God has allowed you to have amongst your church family. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Among the people. You know what? Those people were watching him. He was to be their example in his life and in his love. And I'll never forget, many years ago, there was a family in our church. I'd only been a deacon 2 or 3 years at that time, and I was still in the Air Force and the military at that time. And there was another military family that we were ministering to and trying to help along, kind of. And it was an amazing thing. I'm notorious for driving cars until they fall apart. Okay, I mean, I just do. I drive them until, when I'm finished with them, I call the tow truck and say, take to the junkyard, okay? And that's just, I'm notorious for that. And this man in this particular family, he and his wife were thinking about going out and buying a new car and stuff. I didn't know anything about this, okay? But it was one of those situations where they were a military family, they didn't have a lot of money, and they were really about to get over their heads financially. Okay? And then this man came up to me one day, and he said, "Brother McCollum," he told me this story. He said, "My wife and I, we were thinking about buying this car and stuff, and then we thought about you." and we thought about your, basically, junky car, you know. We thought about you. And you know what I told my wife? I told her that I'm not getting a new car until he does. And as a young deacon, as somebody that had only been a deacon a year or two, 3 years maybe at that time, man, it just struck me right between the eyes when he said that. I thought, man, this guy's been watching me. It's a great responsibility. And I want to encourage you to embrace that example. First of all, we see in Acts chapter 6, verse 10, that this man, Stephen, this deacon, he was an example in speech. It says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." I want to encourage you to be an example in speech and the things you say. Sometimes in situations, you need to be an encouragement to people. Most of the times, you need to be an encouragement to people. But there are times where you have to approach people on other situations and other things, and you have to be an example in speech. Be careful about what you're saying and what you're doing, and be careful about the jokes that you tell and the things that you say. I've heard some men... And this is probably just a pet peeve with me, okay? It may just be me. But making a mock of sin is something that just kind of rubs me the wrong way. In other words, if a guy's standing around, he says, "Well, you know," and they're just sitting around joking. He says, "Well, let's go out and have a beer." You know he's joking. You know he's not going to go out and have a beer. But to me, that just doesn't sound right. You know? And things like that. Just be sensitive about the things you say, okay? Stephen was a man who was an example in his speech. Not only that, he was an example in spirit or his attitude. Acts chapter 6 and verse 15, it says, "And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." He had a good attitude. He had a positive attitude. He was loyal to the church. He was loyal to the Lord. He was loyal to his pastor. He just had a good spirit about it. Number three, he was an example in knowledge, his biblical knowledge. Acts chapter 7 and verse 2, he began by saying, "And he said, Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham." And then he went on for verse after verse. You know that portion of Scripture, all of chapter 7. He went right through basically the history of Israel. I mean, he knew the Word of God. He understood, he knew the Word of God. And I want to challenge you to be an example in your knowledge of the Word of God also among the people. Study the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Use the Word of God in the lives of others. Also, he was an example in boldness. Acts chapter 7, verse 51, it talks, Stephen said this, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." It reminds me of 1 Timothy 3:13, where it says, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ." Be an example in boldness. Now, I'm not saying be the cranky old deacon that's always fussing at the kids and always fussing at this and always fussing at that. That's not what I'm talking about when I say boldness. But boldness to stand for what's right. Boldness to stand for the faith of the gospel. Boldness to stand for that which is right, that which is holy, that which is good. And that boldness was a great example to the church family. And then number five, being an example in forgiveness. Stephen was an example in forgiveness. Boy, this is a tough one. Probably the toughest of all of them. Acts chapter 7 and verse 60. The Bible says, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." An example in forgiveness. Men, don't ever let your pastor, don't ever let the church family, don't ever let the Lord see you with a grudge against another member of your church family. Deal with those things quickly. If somebody has offended you, go to them. You know it, Matthew chapter 18. It's there. It's in the Bible. And by the way, it works. It's the Word of God. And so if there's any friction between you and someone else in the church family, try to deal with that. Now, I know from personal experience, there are those that get out of the will of God. There are all those that get angry and bitter. And even though you go to them and try to make things right, it's just not going to happen on their part. But at least make the effort. At least make the effort. And at least forgive them. Forgiveness, by the way, is not on their part. It's on your part. You can forgive them without them ever getting right with you. Okay. And I want to encourage you to do that. Stephen was a man, a great example of forgiveness. And by the way, there was a young man named Saul there that saw that example. Made a big difference in his life, didn't it? Made a big difference in his life. One deacon made a big difference in the life of the Apostle Paul. And so, man, I just want to encourage you. I want to ask you, are you embracing the relationships, the opportunities? Are you embracing the lost? Are you embracing the example? Or have you let your grip slip a little bit? And as I prepared for this, I realized there were some areas in here. I shared one of them with you, with the soul winning, the embracing the lost. There were some things in here that God pointed out to me that, hey, you need to strengthen your grip on this. You need to be cleaving instead of leaving. You need to hang on tight. You need to embrace some of these things. And if God's touched your heart in any of these areas, or maybe something I didn't even mention, the care of your pastor or any of these areas, then I want to challenge you. Go from this place. And that, by the way, that's the passion of our pastor. That's the passion of this church, that you would go from this place with a renewed heart, a renewed spirit, a fresh a glimpse of what God wants you to do in your church. Okay, where God has placed you. I want to encourage you to strengthen your embrace. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful opportunity that you've given us this afternoon, Lord, to spend some time together around your word. Lord, what a privilege it is to be in America. What a privilege it is to have the freedoms that we still have. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray, God, that you bless the preaching of your word tonight. Be with Dr. Gibbs and use him, Father, in a mighty way in our midst. Lord, we thank you so much for these men that are in this room, those that are deacons, those that are men in their church. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help them to love you and love their pastor and love their church family and to love one another. And we ask this all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. All right, we've got about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions or anything that we can help you with, we'd be more than happy to do that. Also, I've put my email address up here on the board. If you get away from here and you think, well, I wonder how they do this, or I wonder this, or I wonder that, if there's anything, any questions that I can answer for you or help you out with, don't hesitate to shoot me an email. I promise you I will get back with you. If it's something that I don't deal with, then I'll give it over to one of our other men and let them respond to you, but we'll make sure we'll help out in any way that we can. It's a blessing to have you here, and if there's anything else that we can do, please let us know. Okay? Any questions anybody have?